Welcome to Sabrina Artel's Trailer Talk. I'll bring you all kinds of stories from all kinds of people. Whether it's a live public conversation and we're speaking from the kitchen table of my 1965 Beeline travel trailer, from the studios or on the streets, please sit back and enjoy the conversation right here this time every week. I've just arrived at the Meyer Century Farm, founded in 1837, and I'm meeting with Ryan Schwartz, who is the seventh generation here farmer on this dairy farm. Now there are eight generations, I just found out. Please introduce yourself.
I'm Ryan Schwartz. Like you said, I'm the seventh generation on Meyer's Century Farm. I'm here with my husband, Mark, my two brothers, all of our little ones, the eighth generation, too.
The eighth generation, your grandfather is here.
Yeah, I'm Earl Myers, owner of the farm originally. He sold it to my daughter and son-in-law. And now the seventh generation has taken over. And I'm extremely proud.
I imagine you are. And to get here, I turned on to Earl Myers Road. So this is your road, named after you?
I guess. People were getting lost with the fire trucks, and that's how it got named after the farm, so they knew where they were headed for.
When did you begin this dairy farm? And you've seen it evolve so much. And I'm here to speak with Ryan about her vision, her dream, and I understand since she was a little girl, about making ice cream.
She sure did. They make what I consider the finest ice cream around. And people enjoy it. I get a lot of good remarks about it.
Brian and I are going to talk about this ice cream and also her idea to do production right here on the farm, connected what was happening with the dairy industry. And I will agree with you, Earl Myers. I come to this farm stand that sells the ice cream and the cream line dairy products and the ice cream sandwiches. I'll come here at 10 p.m. at night, and there are three and four cars of people picking out their favorite ice cream late at night.
A 24/7 business out there. We'll have state troopers, sheriff's department, EMTs, fire department. They come in here if they get done with their job, and they pick up whatever they want, pretty much. And it's just nice to know that it's free for them to use 24/7.
Yes, anytime someone's craving ice cream or an ice cream sandwich or any of these things, it's really incredible to stick my head in that freezer and pick out an ice cream. What's your favorite ice cream in this moment?
I don't really have a favorite, but it'd probably be chocolate and strawberry. Vanilla's right there. They're all about the same that way. Then you got others there that are very good, too. Rocky Roads and Mint Wagon.
And the sweet cream ice cream, yeah, the maple ice cream, the chocolate peanut butter ice cream.
Yeah. They got, I think, 14 varieties that are steady. Then they go on for special occasions like Mother's Day or Christmas and stuff. They make up special things for them. And they sell very well. Usually they sell out complete.
Driving around these roads here outside of Jeffersonville, New York, you have beautiful farmland that you've preserved. And Ryan, feel free to jump in here. That's really significant to have this open space, to have the farmland here, and to be contributing in such an important way to the economy and holding on to this land, which becomes harder and harder. Anything you want to share about that, Earl?
When I started, there were 600 dairy farms here in Solon County. Now you got less than 10. And, we're still part of it.
You're still, you're a really important farm in the county.
Yeah, it hurts to see how many have gone to the wayside compared to what it was, you know. I had 22 neighbors for dairy farms. Now I got one, or actually two. The one's a little farther away, but that's significant.
That is significant. Ryan, you certainly are a big part of this vision at this point as the seventh generation. I'm wondering, Ryan, if you can add, here you are with your grandfather, Earl Myers, about making products from the cows that are
pure and unadulterated and a very specific kind of milk and cream.
Yeah, so the vision for the farm doesn't really have to do with me personally. A lot of it, the ice cream brand is named after me, so a lot of people are like, oh, it's Ryan's ice cream, but it's really all of ours. I would not be able to do it here without my husband, my parents, my brothers, my grandpa. Grandpa still comes up to the barn every day to check on us, and it's like, it's a huge family effort more than anything else. As far as the cows, it's something, and the ice cream, I always, as a kid, I always thought it'd be fun to have an ice cream shop because it's just such a happy food.
You know, this is a legend in this area. People tell me that, you know, she, since she was a little girl, she wanted to make ice cream. And you have.
Yeah. I always wanted to make it. I honestly never thought I'd pretty much have a ice cream factory. That was not on the radar. but it turned into such a blessing. But when I was little, I always wanted to have an ice cream shop, and I wanted to call it Sweet Blessings because ice cream can be such a blessing to so many people because it's such a treat. And here we are doing it, which is, it's amazing.
We're here in one of the work buildings on the farm. So let's step into a quieter space. We just entered into what yes, it's much quieter. So what room are we in?
We're in the changing room, or hygienic room, before we enter actually into the plant.
So, Rye's Ice Cream, and you are Ryan. Ryan Schwartz, part of this Earl Myers family. And around here, right, we've got Myers and Erlwines and now Schwartz's, and we have many people involved in the history, this eight generations now on this farm. Brian, you mentioned you wanted to name it Sweet Blessings, your ice cream business. I love that idea because ice cream, as you say, is a treat. It's also, it's a very powerful thing, ice cream, right? People have a lot of passion about it.
Yeah.
It's compelling, it's seductive, it's delicious. Anything you want to add about that and why you wanted to make ice cream from your dairy farm here?
I like to make people happy, be a people pleaser. And ice cream is one of those things that does that. And growing up, we always loved ice cream. It was always a treat, especially when you get done with a hard day's worth of work and it's hot and you just have a little bowl of ice cream. This makes you feel better. Ice cream is something we always grew up with. We always had, my dad had a real sweet tooth. He'd always come in and have a bowl of ice cream at the end of a work day. You know, it carried on. Some of our little ones have quite the little sweet tooth too. Now we make our own, which is something that I had no idea what I was doing when I got into it. Food science was never, ever on my radar, really, mostly because I didn't understand anything about it. But as we got going, we've learned so much. We started out with buying a mix, and my sister-in-law was working with me at the time, and we were looking at the ingredients, and we were like, you know what, I think we can do this better. So we did. I read two books about ice cream, and she would take home a recipe, and I would take home a recipe, and we'd test them out till we got to one where we have just five simple ingredients, most of which come right off the farm, and we wanted to make a superior product. It's funny, now that we actually make ice cream, we are almost kind of like ice cream snobs, because every time we taste a different type of ice cream, we're like, well, I think it needs a little more of this or a little bit of this, or, you know, and even when we make our own flavors, we, you know, we take a taste and we're like, well, and we try to perfect it.
They'd go out and they'd buy top name ice creams that were on the market and take three bowls. Here, try them. Which one's the best?
So how do you become a taste tester?
One of them be hers. Anyway, if we gave her the thumbs up.
You know, I've had my head in that freezer with two other people saying, try this one, try that one. This is my favorite. No, you have to get this one. You have a very specific vision with it, with the kind of milk that you use and what that means. And of course, I want to really honor the cows that you work with, that you have such an intimate relationship with, who are producing this milk. Ryan, Earl, can you talk about that?
Yeah, so growing up, we always had, and probably since the beginning, we always had mainly Holstein cows. the black and white ones. And they produce a higher volume of milk, but it's not quite as rich. So when we decided we were going to start making our own and using our milk to make our products, we decided to switch over to Jersey cows, which are a smaller breed of cows. They make a little bit less milk, but it's a richer milk. It's got higher butter, fat, protein in it. And then when we switched to Jerseys, we decided we were going to go with cows that were considered A2A2 cows. So A2A2 means that the cows naturally have an extra protein. All cows have proteins A1 or A2. If they have both A2A2, it means that they're naturally easier to digest the milk. So a lot of people that have a dairy intolerance or something like that can still drink our milk because it's naturally easier to digest. Also, when we process it, we do minimal fat pasteurization, so it keeps the milk in its natural state. The cream will rise to the top. The only thing it does is it kills off the bad bacteria but keeps the good, because we do it at a low temperature. So it keeps the milk as pure and fresh as it can possibly be. It's something you're never going to buy in a store from a big processing plant, because unfortunately they have really killed dairy products in a lot of ways.
How many acres do you have here?
We farm over pretty near 800 when you figure pasture and metals, corn, crops together.
I see you, your family, with your machines on the roads and going into the fields around here, just outside of Jeffersonville, New York, and seeding the corn. And it's incredible to also be able to look out and see the farmland, to see the open space and what that gives us. And I'm curious what you both feel about that, maintaining, preserving, being stewards of this land. And a great effort, because it's not easy, certainly, to maintain the land, to have the cows, to have a dairy.
Yeah, dairy farming, it's not a job, it's a lifestyle. There's no 9-to-5, there's no 40-hour week. You're doing something all the time, whether it's taking care of the animals. Now with the processing, that's a whole nother business in itself. You're always doing something, but it's, like I said, it's not a job, it's a lifestyle, and you have to love it. And I think that farming, especially on the western side of Sullivan County, that's what people like. It's what makes this area beautiful. There's no buildings all over the place. There's open land. You can see the animals. And that's really what I think drives a lot of people to Sullivan County. You know, we always kind of say that we are blessed to be able to be caretakers of this farm, because it's only for, you know, like I said, we're to the eighth generation now. You have your time to do it, and then it gets passed down. You know, praise God, we've gotten to the eighth generation. But it's not so much that you own the land, it's you steward it. You take care of it. We're caretakers to the best of our ability. And we are very blessed to be able to do that. And now the fact that we can share it with other people through our products, you know, it comes full circle, really. The whole community gets to enjoy the farm.
How would you describe your cows, your workers, right? They're the workers as well as you are here on the farm.
They're what makes it go. The cows, well, they're number one thing. Taking care of them, that's our obligation, you might say, roundabout way. But the better we can take care of them, the better results are coming from them. It's just nice to see it going as well as it is.
And I keep going back to, of course, the dairy industry in the country is really hard hit. It's complicated. So, Ryan, you really have found a way by producing your dairy products here on the farm, having that idea to be local, to be in the community and do that. What have you gained as a family farm doing that? What has that kind of opened up for you?
Actually, it saved the farm, really, is what it did. I always wanted to get into farming. My parents made, and grandpa and grandma actually made their kids all go away for at least 2 years, get off the farm, go to college or do something, and then if you wanted to, you could come back. So I was blessed to be able to be the first one to come back out of my, before my two brothers, but they were able to work here with the jobs they had prior. And But my dad and my mom always said, if you want to do dairy farming, you're going to have to do something different, because the federal market was never going to be, it was never going to be anything that let the farm flourish, be able to support multiple families and stuff like that. And it's funny, we actually got pushed out of the federal market in 2018, I believe it was. My parents lost their milk market after 35, 40 years of shipping. They got the pink slip saying, we're not going to pick up your milk anymore. And that kind of opened the door to what we're doing now. And in a lot of ways, you know, you never think you're ready for it. You're like, oh, we'll wait for the perfect time, or, you know, something like that. And that's never the case. So we got pushed into it. I started milking a very small herd of Jerseys for a kosher plant, Bethel Creamery. And they would take my milk, and then eventually we put in our own processing room so we could use the milk on Sabbaths and Jewish holidays. And then that evolved and did this. About 3 years ago, we decided to take the jump and build the bigger building. I had gotten married, my husband was here, and he came onto the farm with no farming experience. He jumped right in. Which you don't find that. People don't do that. I got a winner. I found someone very special. At that point, he was here. We decided to buy a bigger equipment, build the bigger plant. And then last year, my brothers were actually able to kind of come back and start farming also.
Yeah.
It's been a process. It's been a big process. But it's rewarding. You know, there is something, you're working towards something. You're not just shipping your milk out to the federal market to let it go get butchered, more or less.
Yes, and what are you working towards? So when I'm walking on these roads, which I do sometimes with my dog, I see your truck. Rise Ice Cream, I've seen that pass me a couple of times. I have seen your ice cream in different shops locally, including a gas station in Liberty, which I was so surprised to see it there. So how would you describe your market and the people that are appreciating and recognizing the value of your ice cream?
Our big goal at the moment is to be able to use up all of our milk. We still ship some out to Bethel Creamery, which is another local creamery, so we know where it's going and what it's getting made into. But ultimately, we would love to be able to use all of our own milk. One of the things that we realized when we started is how many people are so appreciative of where the milk comes from, to be able to see it, to be able to know the people that work towards making it. That's a big draw. A lot of people want to know where their food comes from. They want to know that nothing's getting added, nothing's getting taken away. It's real food. One of the little things we always say is it's real milk from a real farm family.
Yes, from a real farm family, and not only just ice cream, but a special kind of milk, as you shared with us, and also the care, you know, without additives, without chemicals, without all of these things, and really a gourmet kind of ice cream.
Basically, that's what it is. It's a specialty product that they have turned out that turns out very well. They work hard at making it too. They are all the time coming up with new ideas for different types of ice cream. And one by one, when they finally get their approval, they put them out on the market. And it's basically just the farm, the people in the area, you know, they know they're on a farm when they get here, and they know what they expect when they are here.
Now, we've mentioned the sweet cream ice cream that I know people love so much, and that's unusual. And then maple ice cream. We're a big producer of maple here in New York State. How do you even come up with the kinds of ice creams you're creating, but also your favorites? Or maybe in this moment, because I know you have to taste everything.
Yeah. I've always been a peanut butter lover. I get that from my grandma. So I love the peanut butter ones. And then after that, I'm a chocolate lover. So I love the Muddy Boots brownie is one of my favorites.
And who is this that we're hearing?
This is my youngest son, Case Michael. He's 6 months old.
Hello, Case
and
Michael.
He is
He's trying to grab the microphone.
Yeah. he works with us in the plant all the time, too. You know, that's part of being a farm family. Our kids are always, you know, riding in trucks or tractors, or, you know, if someone needs to go somewhere, they're there, too. The flavors, a lot of them are seasonal, so we kind of go by seasons. We just did a strawberry rhubarb, and a lot of it I get people all the time saying, you know, if you get time, try this flavor, try that flavor. My aunt works with me. She's retired last year, and she came to help me helps me make the ice cream every morning and during the week. She comes up with a lot of great ideas. My other aunt, I'm always getting texts from her saying, try this, try that. So when we get time, we do try to do stuff. We try to keep it interesting. We just started actually making milkshakes, too. We make them fresh on Fridays. You know, there's so much you can do with ice cream. There's so many endless possibilities. And that's what makes it a lot of fun.
Yes. And is it hard to hang on to this land in this moment where so much land is disappearing and being developed?
Yeah. Well, you got people from the city that love the farm, too. So the farms get subdivided, and that's the end of the farm. And we're trying to pick up some of the pieces that are left here and there that we can rent and offer them an incentive for tax reduction if they got more than 10 acres. And it helps them out, and it helps us out to maintain and have some properties. But still, a lot of them are broke up so bad that they're not feasible to go and try to get any money back out of them. I mean, you got to have a sizable amount of property in order for that to work well. And that's why the farms are depreciating. You got high values on the properties here, particularly small properties like 5 acres or less. And you take 5 acres out of the field, and next thing you know, four times, and that's the end. So it'll never come back the way it was when I was a kid. Used to be I'd get up on these hills and start working. I could look out and I could see 22 other farmers out there working. Now I got one.
And you are Earl Myers. You are Ryan's grandfather, and you are the 5th generation, but we're now in the 8th generation, the 8th being quite little. So who was before you?
Yeah, well, it goes back to 1837. They had a farm down near Central Park, and it was getting crowded down there, and so he wanted to get away. So he come up here. Originally, he came from East.
Central Park, New York City.
Yeah, Manhattan.
Oh, your sister's coming. Good.
Hey, there we go.
And so Central Park, Manhattan is where initially...
I was tempted to go and find out through past deeds if I could get somebody to track it down to see exactly where we were. But there's supposedly someplace around 110th Street, which just about borders Central Park. There's only a few buildings down in the villages, and they were mostly like blacksmith shops, small grocery stores, just necessity types of building. And originally, my great-great-grandfather, he take a wheelbarrow, and he'd wheel it to Newburgh, pick up some flour and salt and sugar, and then wheel it all the way back.
That's far.
It took him 3 days.
Oh, my goodness. So to Newburgh, wow, to walk with a wheelbarrow.
Yeah, it wasn't a road. It was more like a path.
So from Manhattan, just at the edge of what's now Central Park, 110th Street, your family then ended up in Newburgh, and then how?
No, they come directly here. So in 1937, there was some kind of a deal made. We don't have the deeds to 1942 that go back there. But there was a deal made in 1937. That's why it's...
In Sullivan.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I've been here 85 years.
All right, so you've been here 85 years.
I always had this dream ever since I was a kid. And it was just born just before World War II. January. Ever since I was 6 years old, I always wanted to be a farmer.
And now you said 85 years you've been here on this farm.
Yeah. Yeah. When you're a little kid like my great-grandchildren, you get into everything. I had a dog that was the same age as I, and Tippy. anyway, Tippy and I were like pals. And so when they wanted to find Early, they called the dog. They'd see which way the dog come from, so they knew where to head. And I just ran free, you know. And ever since little like that, I always wanted to be on the tractors, just like my great-grandchildren now. And if they could get on them, they'd get on them.
That's incredible. We are in the changing room, and then if we walk over here, this is actually the production plant for the ice cream, for the milk. You have to, you
this
know, be sanitized.
Rye's husband.
Hi. So nice to meet you. You're Mark Schwartz?
Yes.
Hi. Ryan, what is your vision in this moment for Rye's ice cream?
It's hard to say, I guess. You never know the opportunities that the good Lord has up his sleeves for you. I guess you could almost kind of say we want to take it as far as it can go, and only the good Lord knows what that'll be, I guess.
And how does it make you feel to be here on this land, on your family farm, looking out at the fields, the cows, this room where we are, where the ice cream is made, things like that? How does it make you feel?
It's definitely, I don't know, it's very hard. Looking back, you see how far we came, and it's amazing how much we've done. When you're doing it, it feels like it's taking forever, and you look back and you're like, wow, we did a lot in 3 years.
So it's been increasing a little bit by a little bit, or a lot of bit by a lot of bit, in a very short period of time. And it's their initiative to go into it that's led to what is here now.
And how does it make you feel, the response you get, Ryan, to the ice cream that you're making? And your family, all of you here, since it is really a collective effort.
Mm-hmm. It's definitely rewarding to know that people enjoy your products, something that we put our heart and soul into. It's, it's very rewarding. We'd really like to just thank our community. We live in an amazing community full of a lot of support, and that's really what it, that keeps us going. People that do come to our shop, that try our ice cream, and that's, I guess we'd really just like to say thank you.
We're very fortunate to have the neighbors that we have. They've been, very accommodating for us. We rent properties from them, and we spread manure, which is, doesn't have the most nose-created attribute.
It's strong, I know.
And they're just happy that we're here.
Thank you both. I've been speaking with Earl Myers, fifth generation here on Myers Century Farm, and Ryan Schwartz, who is the seventh generation, and I'm here with your husband, Mark Schwartz. I'm here with your children, who are the eighth generation, and we're here on the farm talking about the work that you do, what you make, and your Rye's ice cream.
Thank you very much for reaching out and doing this with us. We appreciate it very much.
You're welcome. Thank you both.
You're welcome.
More can be discovered about Rye's farm-made ice cream at MyersCenturyFarm.com. From the kitchen table out on the road, I'm Sabrina Artelt. Thanks for joining me for Sabrina Artell's Trailer Talk. The music for the show, Patti Smith, People Have the Power. Trailer Talk is produced by Sabrina Artell. For more information, please visit trailertalk.net. Special thanks to WJFF Radio Catskill and the numerous people who have donated their time, resources, and conversations to make Trailer Talk possible. Thank you all who joined me in these conversations. I'm Sabrina Artell. Safe travels.
Support comes from Damascus Citizens for Sustainability, fighting for clean air, land, and water since 2008, both locally and beyond. Information online at their Main Street storefront in Narrowsburg or their office in the Narrowsburg Union. DamascusCitizens.org.
I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of On the Media. You know the media aren't some monolithic other out there to get you. Across myriad platforms, it carries countless ideas and agendas, and you're part of it all. So don't get lost in an ever-evolving media landscape. This program says you are here with analysis, context, deep dives, and a much-needed deep breath. On the Media, Saturday afternoon at 4 on Radio Catskill.
This is Cooper R. Grace, KG, right here in the place to be, WJFF Radio Catskills Music Emporium, Tuesday night, 7 to 9. 2 hours of great music, jazz, funk, blues. I got mellow grooves to help you unwind, exciting rhythms to help you cut loose. Join me Tuesday night,